Chapter 2. The next morning was spent traveling back into town. It was midday by the time we arrived, and even though we didn't have an appointment with the council, I decided we would head there right away. At the moment, there was a part of me that wanted to head back to my home and stay there with my dragons. I had them, and my women, and for a second that felt like enough. I knew the feeling wouldn't last, though, and as much as I wanted to hold on to the euphoria, I knew I had to let it go. I needed to focus on the bigger picture and make sure I was prepared for whatever I needed to do. This wasn't about me any longer. It was about the dragons. I thought about all of the enslaved dragons in other realms, and my heart crumbled. In Asta's homeworld, there was a thriving dragon trade, and people would use them as sideshows or try to train them. The elf girl said most were unsuccessful with the training of them, but dragons from her homeworld were often taken and sold to people in other realms as well. I'd seen the dragons in Alfheim, and I couldn't imagine taking them away from one another. I'd watched as a mother played with her three younglings and taught them about flying and playing, and I'd felt her happiness, and the children's, too. I couldn't possibly, for an instant, think about taking that feeling away from either of them, and I would kill whoever would dare to do such a thing. No, this wasn't about my own life any longer. It was about innocent dragon lives, and doing whatever I could to save them. I led the girls through town until we were just outside of the council building, and then I marched up the solid white stairs that led to the council's room and past the two guards at the door. Neither of them said anything to me. Instead, they just opened the door to allow me through.
"Thank you,"
Asta said sweetly, as we walked through the double doors and into the great hall. The place was white marble all around, and at the opposite end was where the council members sat on their stone thrones. Rinbar was farthest to the left, and the rugged-looking man had long black hair that hung past his shoulders and a large black beard to match.
"Rat!"
the dark-haired man called out with a mirthful laugh.
"We didn't expect you today. Come, come in!"
Before I could stop them, my three little dragons ran forward and up to the council members. Blah and Inger immediately plopped themselves in Prana's lap. The beautiful blonde council member chuckled and petted them each in turn. Ufe held back, and instead of eagerly receiving pets from Prana, who would have gladly given them, he marched up to Rinbar and casually lifted himself up to peer at the man. Rinbar smiled and patted Ufe on the head, so his little red tail began to wag like a dog's, which was fitting, considering they were enchanted to look like dogs.
"We will have to finish this meeting later this week,"
Bea said calmly, and I glanced over to see someone had been in a meeting with the council.
"Oh,"
I frowned. "I'm sorry to interrupt." Bea ignored me and waved his hand at the man, who then headed back out the doors I'd just entered from.
"It's quite all right, Wrath,"
Prana said with a smile.
"We know you wouldn't come to speak with us out of nowhere if it weren't important."
You are correct."
"So, what is it, then?"
Rinbar asked, and he leaned forward in his chair.
"Yes, how can we help?"
Prana questioned, and her eyebrows pinched together with concern as she absent-mindedly stroked the dragons' backs. Blar and Inga seemed oblivious to the seriousness of our conversation, and they were nearly asleep in the council member's lap.
I have some questions for you, but first, I think you need to understand what happened while we were away."
"Of course,"
Prana said, and her light brown eyes narrowed on me.
"Please, however we can assist."
"I met Nidhugg yesterday."
"You went to the realm of fog and mist?"
"Oh, don't be so shocked, Prana,"
Bea said with a playful smirk.
"Wrath has a tendency to go wherever he likes, doesn't he?"
"I found a portal that led there, but I didn't realize what we would find when we were there."
"You didn't know about Nidhugg?"
Rinbar asked, but then he tugged on his beard.
No, I suppose you wouldn't. Everything about him was taken away, though I thought you might have come across something when you were looking through the library. No, I shook my head. It was, quite a surprise for all of us.
Nikud must have called you to him. People don't typically find him by accident.
Well, he said it was my destiny to find him. I replied, but then my eyebrows pinched together as I thought about what Prena said. Do you know him?
I met Nidhug once.
Prena nodded.
Many years ago. What did he say to you?
Asta asked as she cocked her head curiously.
He said nothing.
Prena answered, and she looked at me inquisitively.
Did he speak to you? You couldn't hear him. Rat heard him inside his head.
You did? Rinbar counted, and his dark eyes widened with surprise. Curious, Bea muttered as he rubbed his thumb and forefinger together absent-mindedly. He did. What do you know about him? Is he trustworthy? Even as I asked the question, I knew it didn't matter if Prena found him trustworthy or not. There'd been some sort of connection between Nidhug and I, and I trusted him. But I also wanted to know what Prena knew about the great dragon.
Nidhug is considered to be the father of all dragons. He was seen as evil for a very long time, but that is not the case. Evil.
Kaas echoed, and she glanced over at me.
What do you mean, evil? What did he do to be considered so bad? He gnawed at the roots of the Tree of Life.
Prena answered in a solemn tone.
Yggdrasil.
Kaas gasped, and her jaw dropped.
Surely he didn't try to disconnect the worlds. He did.
Prena nodded.
But not for malicious purposes. Why would he do that?
Asta frowned.
He knew something evil was coming. He knew the dragons were in danger, and he was trying to save them. I wish I could have spoken to him to ask him about this, but this is simply what I read in one of the scrolls after I met him. The little dragons seem to like him a lot. I believe them to be good judges of character. I'm sure they are.
Prena said with a smile.
Nidhug could have easily hurt me the day I came across him, but he did not.
In your research of him, did you ever come across a prophecy?
I've seen many prophecies.
Prena shrugged.
What is the one you speak of?
Nidhug told me I was destined to save all dragons. He told me I needed to fulfill the prophecy. Do you have any idea what he was referring to? The council members were quiet for a moment, but then Prena exchanged a look with Bea and Rinbar.
What is it?
The prophecy,
Bea said in a low voice.
We had always assumed it to be about Vinrar, but...
What does it say?
What does the prophecy say?
It talks about a man who must save the dragons from extinction. The prophecy states, dragons will one day become slaves to man, and they must be freed at all costs, lest the Nine Realms suffer for their crimes.
So they shall be free, or so shall Ragnarok be.
Bea finished grimly.
If Wrath doesn't save the dragons, then it will bring about the end of the world.
Asta's yellow eyes widened with disbelief.
Perhaps. We always believed the prophecy had already been fulfilled. How so? Vinrar. We believed he was the cause of the enslavement of the dragons, and that he was the one who needed to be defeated in order for Ragnarok to be stopped. Perhaps we were wrong. How long do we have?
We cannot be sure, Rinbar said with a shake of his head that caused his long black hair to shake too. But we must do whatever we can to stop this.
What exactly did Nidhug say to you?
Bea asked, and he leaned forward in his seat. The blue-eyed council member was typically not the most involved with things, but today he seemed quite concerned, which put me even more on edge. He said I was, early.
Early?
Rinbar repeated as he petted Ufe,
who had somehow made his way onto the council member's lap unnoticed. Yes, he said, I found the well early, but it was of no matter, and I must go forth with my quest.
Quest?
Bea asked, and he leaned forward further in his chair as his voice rose with excitement.
He sent you on a quest?
I asked him a similar question, I said with a shake of my head. He said it wasn't his quest, it was the world, the universe, all of dragonkind that had the quest for me.
What must he do?
He said I must travel to Helheim. I explained, and I watched as the faces of all the council members grew pale. And I must find the man who was there when Odin banished the dragons. Nidhugg said this man will tell me how to fulfill the prophecy.
Oh, Odin, what is it? We already know traveling to Helheim is dangerous.
More than you could possibly understand.
Did he say anything else?
Rinbar asked, as his eyes focused on me. Not really. I shook my head.
He must be talking about Vinrar.
Bale whispered as he rubbed at his chin.
I'm supposed to find Vinrar in Helheim? I asked.
That was what I'd suspected, but I didn't want it to be true. I couldn't see how finding him would help in any way. I'd hoped the council knew of someone else I could be looking for, but it appeared they did not.
It sounds like this is the case, yes.
Vinrar was a menace to the dragons,
Kaas said as her brow furrowed.
Why is he the one who knows how Rat needs to fulfill the prophecy? I cannot answer that,
Prayna said, and she looked down sadly.
Only the universe may answer that.
Inger saw Prayna was in distress, so she climbed up onto the woman's shoulder to nuzzle her neck and coo at her. Prayna smiled at the small dragon and stroked down her long neck. I thought about what the council had just said. They seemed to believe the same thing I did, that it was Vinrar I needed to find, and I thought about the image of him I'd seen when we'd been looking for materials related to dragons in the castle. He'd looked tall and muscular, with deep blue eyes, long straight black hair, and a scar that curved down his chin to his neck. I recalled something about the image had been unsettling, and as I thought back to that night in the castle, I remembered what it was. The dragon behind Vinrar in the photo had looked scared and sad. It was huge, nearly as large as Nidhugg, judging from the photo, but I could practically feel his terror coming through the canvas as I'd studied the painting.
Vinrar's dragon, I spoke up as I refocused on the council members. Where is he?
I wanted nothing to do with Vinrar, but I knew I would have to find him. Still, if I could see his dragon, perhaps there was something I could find out from him. I wasn't sure I'd be able to communicate with the black dragon the way I could with Nidhugg, but at the very least I knew he would understand me. This strange power I possessed seemed to apply to most dragons, so even if I couldn't control him, I could let him know. Nobody would ever hurt him again, not so long as I could help it. The council grew quiet, and my question hung in the air. Prayna looked down at the ground and frowned. Rinbar's eyes glazed over as he stared above my head and took a deep breath, and Bea covered his mouth with his hand and looked away.
What is it?
Where's his dragon?
It was not our choice,
Prayna said quietly, and then she looked me in the eye.
But he is in Helheim, with Vinrar.
My heart sank when she told me this. How could Odin do that to him? That dragon had done nothing wrong. He'd only defended himself after years and years of abuse at the hands of Vinrar. I shook my head at the idea of him having to spend eternity with the man who'd tortured him. Had he not suffered enough? Bla hopped down from Prayna's lap then, and ran over to put his front legs on my knees. He looked up at me with sad blue eyes, and I knew what he was thinking. He wasn't only worried about me, he was worried about the other dragon,
and he knew we needed to save him.
"We will,"
I told Bla quietly, and I reached down to scratch under his chin.
"Why would Odin sentence him to such a fate?"
Asta asked, and her lower lip quivered in sadness over the black dragon's fate.
"I cannot say for certain, but I believe the people wanted justice. They wanted the dragon slain and would not tolerate it going anywhere other than Helheim. But it did nothing wrong, sweet child,"
Prayna said with a soft smile.
"I know. I wish there was something we could have done. But the decision was not ours to make, and to go against Odin would have landed us in the same dungeon then. It was a tense time in our history."
"What was the dragon's name?" "He had to have a name."
"I'm not sure what his name was. I bet we can find it somewhere."
"You may try. We will do whatever we can to assist you on your quest."
"Yes."
Prayna nodded.
"You're lucky to have two sorceresses accompanying you. I can teach them a protection spell to guard against the entrapments in Helheim. That would be very helpful,"
Kaas said, and her eyes brightened at the thought. "Where are Vinra and the dragon in Helheim?" The realm was monstrous in size, and if I was going to find them, I would need some help. Nidhugg may have said I was early for my quest, but I knew I didn't have time to waste looking for Vinra all over the realm. I needed to find him, quickly.
"He's in the lowest level dungeon,"
Bea answered in a low voice.
"It was created specifically for him, and his dragon, to live out eternity."
"I see." I looked down at the ground in an attempt to hide my anger and sadness. I still couldn't believe Odin had put Vinra's dragon in the dungeon with him. I knew the dragons rebelled against Vinra and unleashed hell on Asgard, but it wasn't something they'd planned or wanted to do. All the dragons I'd known and seen so far had been sweet, intelligent creatures, and there was nothing in the literature or history that indicated anything otherwise, aside from that one incident. Granted, dragons were monstrous creatures. They were huge and could cause a lot of destruction. So I understood the drastic measures Odin took when he kicked them out of Asgard. I didn't like how he'd handled things, but I understood his reasoning. However, trapping a dragon inside a dungeon in Helheim with the Aesir who caused him so much pain, that was something I didn't think I could ever understand. I had to rescue this dragon, no matter the cost. If the fate of all dragons was in my hands, then surely that meant this one as well. I didn't care if the giant beast was already dead. He didn't deserve to be in Helheim, and I would make it my mission to get him out of there.
"Wrath,"
Prayna whispered, and then she let out a deep sigh and made eye contact with me.
"I know this must be difficult for you. This has all been so incredibly sudden."
"I will do what is needed of me," I said sincerely, and I bowed to the beautiful woman on the throne. It didn't matter that everything in my life had changed within the course of a month, or that I might die in my quest to save the dragons and allow the world to escape Ragnarok. This was my destiny, and I would complete it, no matter the cost.
"We appreciate that, and we will help however we can."
"Yes. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to ask us."
"As my fellow council members have said, we will do whatever we can to assist you, but Wrath, there is something you must understand about this prophecy and your destiny."
"What is that?"
"That it is your destiny,"
she emphasized, and her eyes locked with mine.
"You must be the one to fulfill it. We can only help you so much, but this task is yours, and yours alone to complete."
"I understand," I nodded. And I did. It was up to me to save the dragons, and I refused to let them down.